Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is directly across from me and diametrically opposed to most of the common sense patriotic solutions that I come up with.
Believe me, if you ever had any common sense, I would certainly agree with you.
Okay. Common sense is not so common in this room.
No, it's not.
All right. So Joe is here and I am here and you are our guest. So we are very glad to see you all on the radio. Thanks for joining us. So we invite you to call the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line today, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. Please patronize those particular sponsors. You are welcome throughout our show to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out lots more about them at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. That's where they specialize in all types of service on all types of vehicles. They do state inspections. They got a car wash. They'll pump you up with nitrogen, and they can handle alignments in a body shop, you name it. Big trucks can get fixed there, or tiny little smart cars can get fixed there. Doesn't matter what it is, they can fix it. Quick Lane is Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2. Find more details about everything they got at the Sunbury Motor Company at sunburymotors.com, our primary sponsor. So we very much appreciate their support of good conversation throughout our valley.
Either and that or their forbearance. Sometimes
they put up with us, and that is an act of pure optimism that we very much appreciate.
Well, our friend Tom is starting us off this morning. We probably should read this, even though we may not wind up going down this road. He says, seems the far right, far, far right, has forgotten all about the payoffs of the porn star and Playboy bunny to win an election. An impeachable offense all by itself. Really? Why is that impeachable? He wasn't even the president.
What, paying off a porn star?
Yeah. What, that's not an impeachable offense.
Is it even a crime to pay somebody off?
No, not unless you're paying them off to hide evidence of a crime.
It's consensual adult sex is still legal at this moment, anyway.
Right, that may change in this country. You never know.
So, but you don't want your wife to find out, so you give someone money so that they stop discussing it with anyone.
Well, no, I think in this case that the intent was to keep the story from coming out, which could be harmful in an election year. You know, if people knew about John Kennedy's dalliances, it's doubtful that he would have defeated Richard Nixon in 1960.
Okay, so President Trump is fooling around with Stormy Daniels, and
but that's not a crime,
unbeknownst to his wife, right? So the election
comes.
In
theory, assuming you believe her,
and he comes up with a signed agreement. Somebody signed it anyway. That says stop talking about this in any way at all whatsoever with anyone at all whatsoever. Right?
Right.
And I'll give you what?
I forget how many. 320,000? That's sticking in my mind? I don't know. Whatever. It was an odd amount. But in any event, I don't think it's illegal. He says, Trump has far exceeded the level at which Bill Clinton was impeached. Monica Lewinsky was legal at 18 years old. You know, come on. That is so ridiculous. Who is the adult in the room? Who should have known better? It was the President of the United States saying the 18-year-old was legal.
Now, your memory is better than mine. Bill Clinton was impeached for lying to a grand jury, correct?
He swore under oath that he didn't have sex with that woman, and then he had to admit that he did have sex with that woman.
And that was the lie to a grand jury?
It was obstruction of justice and for lying under oath. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. Mueller's report paints an ugly portrait of this president. Lawful but awful. Remember, O.J. Simpson was innocent. Also, how many believe that? Probably many on this show. O.J. is still searching for the real killer. I think the On the Mark participant should help poor O.J. find this killer and stay off the phone. Other than putting conservatives on the court, this president has not kept any promises. In fact, he has done just the opposite. For the Democratic Party to grow a pair and impeach this con man. Sanders and Warren in 2020. Well, there would be a pair.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's a good ticket. I like that.
Oh, do you really? Well.
Well, no. I don't know. I don't know all that. I saw Bernie Sanders last night on a town hall meeting on CNN. Interesting answers. It's no wonder he's a viable candidate. He's got to be very appealing to young people, talking about Medicare for all.
And when he's talking about even allowing prisoners like the every prisoner in jail to vote, including the Boston Marathon bomber, you support that, do you?
I don't think that would be. No, I'm not a supporter of that particular policy or him as a candidate. I'm just saying, I said that would be appealing to young people.
And criminals. They certainly would like that, too.
Yeah,
to get
like that. Right. Yeah, the Unabomber will be able to vote now. But Medicare for All idea, and Elizabeth Warren is talking about forgiving student loans. You came up with something that talks about the price tag.
Warren's massive $640 billion student loan cancellation. Questions raised over fairness to students who have paid off their debts. Democrat Elizabeth Warren's plan to cancel existing student loan debt for millions of Americans is facing questions of whether it's fair to use taxpayers' money to pay off someone else's agreed commitments, and if the people who paid off their student debts would be penalized for meticulous financial planning. The leading 2020 presidential candidate unveiled her plan Monday, going further than most other Democratic candidates when it comes to education policies, pledging to cancel almost all student loan debt for 42 million Americans. Under Warren's plan, each person's student debt would get a relief of $50,000 if household income is up to $100,000. Higher incomes would also be entitled to massive debt reductions, while only those households with earnings of over $250,000 would get no student debt reduction. For example, a person with household income of $130,000 gets $40,000 in cancellation, while a person with a household income of $160,000 gets $30,000 in cancellation, Warren wrote. But many on social media raised their questions about the plan that, in their view, penalizes those who didn't go to overpriced schools and honored their commitments by diligently paying off their debts. One of them said, "Do I get a refund for having chosen a cheaper public university so I wouldn't be riddled with a ton of debt?" wrote Josh Jordan. "Seriously, this is stupid. Everyone knows what they're borrowing when they go through the process, and I want no part in paying off everyone else's student loan." I say amen to that.
Well, it's an interesting plan, but it is problematic on a couple of levels. So now, why would anyone go to a less expensive university if your student loans will be just automatically forgiven at some point? Well, you might as well, you know, everybody might as well go to Yale and Harvard and Bucknell and Susquehanna.
What about my car loan or your car loan or everybody else's car loan? Why should we should be bailed out? The government should pay off our car loans.
So this might not be
and our mortgages, too.
This might not be an satisfactory solution to the student loan dilemma. But let's ask the question, do we have a student loan problem? The fact that we have $350 billion owed to in the U.S. by primarily young people trying to get their lives started, is that a dilemma? Is this, you know, is this somehow predatory lending to students, allowing students to rack up?
The government took it over, Mark. It's not being done by the banks anymore. The government took it over in 2009.
But why are there still so many private loan companies out there with outstanding debt?
Well, people made loans before 2009, too, you know.
Right.
So there are a lot of people paying off debts, I guess, from before then. But even those people after 2009 still have the student debt. The government was just the loaner, in effect, or the guarantor of the loan. So, you know, that doesn't mean they get
I don't think you have the whole picture because for whatever reason, private banks are still involved in this. Now, maybe they're not the first go-to now, but either for supplemental loans or whatever, private banks are still involved in this.
You don't remember Maxine Waters' grilling of the bankers at the hearing the last week, do you? Where she started off saying about, what are you going to do to help us cut down on this massive student debt? And the bankers all said, we don't make student loans anymore.
Right. so the federal government oversees them. But in any event, private individuals are still involved in some of the debt. Maybe the government takes over most of them. I certainly am not current on this topic. But the fact of the matter is, okay, so we have 350 billion people. Let's get back to my original question and ask, is that a good way to run the country, to have people borrowing their future like this and paying off for thousands of years? The
What if you get a borrow $200,000 and come out with a degree in art history? What are you going to do with that degree?
Well, that's obviously not heeding sound advice somewhere along the way.
If you choose to, if that's what your passion is and you choose to pursue it and you're willing to pay for it, why should we bail you out? If we told you to get an art history degree and you can't get a job and you can't pay off your debt, then I would say, all right, we owe you something. But if you made that decision yourself without assessing the job market and what your prospects are to repay the loan, is that our problem?
Well, and if you fail,
is that society's problem?
You fail to heed sound advice as saying, hey, that's not an employable, that's not a readily employable field. All right, we started out with a letter that says, seems the far, far right has forgotten all about the payoffs of the porn star and Playboy Bunny to win an election, an impeachable offense all by itself, says Tom. Talking about the fact that Bill Clinton was impeached for lying, but so far President Trump has not been impeached. But he didn't lie under oath, correct? I mean, President Trump lies all the time,
but not under oath.
All right, so that's a big difference. 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about the student loan forgiveness program that's being promulgated by Elizabeth Warren. $350 billion listed as...
$640 billion.
Okay, where did I get 350? Isn't that funny?
Discounting. That's a typical... left-leaning ploy, make
yes,
it sound less expensive.
That's what it is. All right. 1-800-795-9565. Tom, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, first of all, don't read my letter right. You skip sentences. You need to try again. That's the first thing I have to say.
Tom, your phone is, something's off with your phone. It's a little hard to hear you. Can you speak into it more directly?
I said, first of all, you didn't read my letter right. You need to try again.
Actually, we read it verbatim. Pretty
read it verbatim.
No, you didn't. You skipped the sentence after Monica Lewinsky, 18 years old. You skipped the whole sentence.
Oh, a lawful but awful thing for a president to do.
Oh, I guess.
Did
we
I
did.
Skip
yeah,
that? Okay.
So you skipped that.
I'm sorry. You're right. I did. I'm sorry. I jumped over it because I think Mark said something to me at that point.
Okay. Now and. We bailed out these banks, incorporated, we bailed out General Motors, Ford, all these banks, and that cost how many? That cost probably $1 trillion, maybe more. I don't know how much it cost to bail out all these banks. And they got a hell of a lot more money than these kids that took out loans for schools. So if you think that that's a terrible idea, I don't agree with you. I mean, if you're going to bail out multi-billion-dollar Fortune 500 companies, and these people that bankrupted these banks got a bonus for it. They got a bonus for bankrupting this country.
So
and you're worried about giving people loans to get out of school? I don't think so.
So two wrongs make a right? Is that the logic here? I mean, it's bad to bankrupt a bank and to be needing a bailout. It's also bad to over-borrow and need a bailout.
Well,
so
I think they should help them out. I think this school loans is terrible. They're charging them terrible interest on it. It's the cost to go to school is way, way, way out of line. It's terrible what they have to pay. I mean, it used to be back when I was younger, you could have a part-time job working and you could pay for your college. It didn't hardly cost nothing. It cost a couple $1,000s. Now it costs $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 for one semester. It's ridiculous.
But whose fault is that?
I don't know. It ain't mine.
It's not mine either.
It ain't mine, and then the country is so screwed up, the government. The government keeps sending jobs overseas. They don't want to give people any money. They don't want to raise their wages or anything.
To Asia,
and these
maybe.
people have these high loans that they have to pay off, and then they have to pay them off and try to survive yet. try to have a place to live and food to eat.
But Tom, nobody,
so they can go back and forth to work.
Tom, nobody told them to borrow that money. They did that on their own. Nobody held a gun to their head.
Trying to bet, and nobody told the banks to do what they did either.
But the difference here
did
is
anybody,
the bank.
Did anybody tell the banks that they should do what they did?
Here's the difference.
So they could bankrupt the country?
Well, they haven't bankrupted the country, as you well know.
Well, but, they would have if they would have if they wouldn't have bailed them out.
But the bottom line
and
here
one
is
one of the reasons why we're so far in debt.
The banks.
I mean, the banks are just bailing them out for $1 trillion on the debt.
Tom, the banks provide employment for hundreds of thousands of people. So an investment in bailing them out was an investment in jobs. One person's personal debt is not bailing out the country.
Okay, go ahead.
The colleges get their money.
Yeah, but the college provides a service in return for that money. You said you want an education.
Well, the banks provide a service too.
Sure, and that's why we kept them up.
Between the two.
But the difference is the universities fulfill their obligation. You went there and said, "I want an education. I want to learn how to do X," and they taught you how to do X, and you paid them the fees that they charge for it. You could have gone somewhere else. You could have chosen another career path. The fact that you went there and you signed an obligation.
Come on, Tom.
That's personal responsibility.
The banks provided a service too. I went to the bank and I cashed my check and they gave me money.
Right.
But they still bankrupted the country.
But they didn't bankrupt the country. They did not bankrupt the country, Tom. The country is not bankrupt.
Well, they added a lot of debt onto the country.
Yeah. Well,
and now they reversed the laws that they passed, and now they're going to do it again. It's going to happen again. That's going to happen again. They're doing the same thing they did before. They're going to bankrupt the country again, and I'll bet you they'll bail them out, but they won't help these kids.
Well, and should they keep helping kids? Should kids keep borrowing and keep getting bailed
they
out?
They should do what Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren want. We should have free education. We should have free education. We should have free health care. Not free. I mean, it's going to have to be paid for by taxes. But we need to do what the other countries in this world are doing.
And you don't think that'll bankrupt the country, Tom? Tom, you don't think that'll bankrupt the country?
No.
Why not? If the banks bankrupt the country.
You've got billionaires in this country. You've got the 1% that have more money than they'll ever, ever, ever use.
Did you hear the report?
They have so much money that it's ridiculous.
Did you hear the report?
They have more money.
Tom, did you hear the report that if you took all the billionaires' money, it would fund the government for like 2 weeks or something like that?
Oh, come on. You believe stuff that's not true.
Well, I mean, you're creating...
Now you're talking, you're using Fox News talking points.
Well, you're saying the banks are bankrupting the country, but you're willing to spend $640 billion to bail out students who made a commitment that they don't want to keep.
Well, and the banks don't want to keep their commitment either. And then why don't the banks pay all the money back that we gave them?
Well, they have.
And keep their commitment. They got plenty of money now. Let them pay the money back.
Some of them are.
Yeah, some of them have paid.
No, they aren't. The only thing that got paid back was General Motors paid back their money, as far as I know. The banks never paid back a cent, and they could pay it back. Why aren't they paying it back?
Okay.
Guess it was a bailout. Freebie. All right. Thank you so much, Tom.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate your call. And I'm sorry I missed that second paragraph or sentence.
Thank you much for checking in. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our hometown pharmacy. We're talking about Elizabeth Warren's student loan forgiveness program, the $650 billion to...
40. Now you're adding on to it. You have trouble with this number, I can tell.
Six something.
$640 billion.
Okay. Oh, I missed it by $10 billion. Big deal.
Yeah, a billion here, a billion there. It's going to run into money.
Who said that?
Oh, gosh, I can't think of his name now. Tall senator from Illinois, I think.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember his name.
All right, 1-800-7...
Everett Dirksen.
Wow. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We started out with an email from Mr. Tom, who was just on the phone, that said it is impeachable to pay off porn stars and Playboy bunnies, and it's a lawful but awful thing for a president to do.
Well, there he was referring to Monica. Monica Lewinsky.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
And O.J. Simpson was innocent also. And other than putting conservatives on the court, the president has not kept any promises. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Should we forgive student loans? Bail them out. Not really forgiveness. It's a bailout. Massive loan bailout. $640 billion with a B. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com.
Get outside and clean up the yard.
Yes, dear.
Springtime means cleanup time, even at Sunbury Motors Ford. Sunbury Motors spring inventory cleanup has begun. Once a year, SMC takes their entire new Ford inventory and prices them at levels not seen before. SMC is where you want to be to choose from 44 2019 Ford Escape. This just in, Ford Motor Company and Sunbury Motors have increased the discounts on 2019 Ford Escapes. They're slashed to the lowest price ever offered to the general public. Now at an amazing $18,985. SMC is where you want to be for 2019 Ford F-150s, starting at just $25,899. And SMC has 66 in stock. SMC is where you want to be if you want a brand new 2018 Ford Focus for $14,905. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Another email. Go right ahead.
All right. One of our writers says, good morning. I believe the person that said Payne Stormy is impeachable was the fact that one of the payments came out of one of Trump's business accounts. Therefore, it would show in his tax returns as an illegal write-off. I don't know if a sitting president is above the law here.
Yeah, but I don't think he paid him. I think Cohen paid him out of his personal funds. That was the trick.
That was the story, supposedly. And then after that, the president reimbursed him.
Right, but Cohen gets millions of dollars in money in general. And then, but Cohen pays off various people for various things, you know. So that kind of keeps it, protects the president, which is what a good attorney is supposed to do.
Well, I'm sorry, but Stormy Daniels doesn't strike me as a paragon of virtue. I mean, it almost seems like a shakedown of some sort. And he went along with it.
I think it was blackmail.
Well, you know, so why isn't she penalized for blackmailing him if that's the case?
Well, which came first, though? He may have decided that her story was potentially negative if it be told. So he came up with the idea of this hush money. So
who did?
Donald Trump or Mr. Cohen. So they came up with the idea, and they don't call it hush money. They just call it, you know,
well, I mean, people have paid to kill stories for years. There have been publications. You don't remember it, but back in the 50s, there was a publication called Confidential, and it was a muckraking publication where they specialized in getting dirt on people and publishing it. There were widespread stories that they often accepted payments. They would call somebody and say, we're running a story about the fact you had an affair with Zelda Glitchblock over here, mm-hmm. and if you'd like us not to run it so your wife doesn't find out, you know, we certainly would appreciate a contribution. So that's been done for years. People have paid to suppress stories. Does the public have a right to know if a presidential candidate is having an affair with a porn star? I certainly think it would reflect on your decision whether or not to vote for him, not necessarily on moral grounds, but judgment grounds. You know, if the man is dumb enough to go out with someone who winds up trying to solicit money from him, then doesn't he deserve what he gets?
Well, and we know for most conservatives, that's not bad news that your candidate is, you know, having an affair with all of these people and then paying them off.
And then one of our writers sends in a note directly to Tom, and it's a quote from Barack Obama on Thursday, October 18th, 2012, in a campaign speech at Manchester, New Hampshire. He said, Tom, this is Barack Obama, your hero. We got back every dime used to rescue the banks, unquote. Direct quote from President Barack Obama.
In 2012.
In 2012.
So that was a long time ago. But anyway, so we obviously, it doesn't bother people who call themselves conservative that they're president is immoral because they're more interested in the money. They follow the Benjamins. Their 401ks are fine. They, you know, business is booming. Joblessness is at an all-time low. So there's no, I can't imagine any moral failing that people would say, well, I'm not going to vote for the president, you know, because he kicks dogs and beats women. They, even then they would just say, well, that's all right. As long as the he continues to run the country well and advocate for sound borders policy. And,
well, and then, of course, he said famously during the campaign that he could shoot somebody in the middle of Broadway or wherever it was
right.
and not be a...
Right. So,
you know, which certainly shows...
True.
You know, I think there would be serious reasons to question the president's judgment, personally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't find much fault with what he's done with respect to administration policy. I don't find fault with it. I mean, I think he's tried to set a course here to bring jobs back to America, to protect American workers, to secure the borders. He's done a lot of things I think are very good, despite what Tom says. I think he's done a lot of good. But his personal life, to me...
is a train wreck.
Well, it's close to it. You know, how his wife...
Where's the line?
His wife... Well, I'd say his wife...
Multiple affairs, kids out of wedlock.
His wife seems to be a very wonderful woman from everything I've seen, although she doesn't get the kind of respect most for ladies get, probably because she's married to him. But I think she, you know, there's something there. Must be something in the guy that she sees.
Yeah, I don't think she commands respect because she's married to him. You know, if we had met her independently, she may have been super strong-willed, ultra-intelligent, you know, businesswoman. But because she's
married to him,
wrapped herself around him, that's not good.
Well, I hope you're speaking metaphorically.
Absolutely. You're listening to WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show On the Mark. Joe and I are just off mic now discussing how to properly envelop the country in common sense and sound policy, and I think we've got some solutions here. And we got some emails from individuals who have some good ideas too. We got a lot of good things to talk about today, including one teacher who says a student's work was pathetic. Should you use that description of a student? So we'll talk about that shortly. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is wide open. We got one caller waiting and one coming in. 1-800-795-9565. And the toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. In the news today, more details are out on that dog attack and police shooting of that dog in Shamokin Monday. Northumberland County Communications says the incident happened around 1 o'clock on Sunbury Street, which is Route 61. Media reports a 47-year-old Gidget Demas is the woman who suffered the serious injuries. She's still in the hospital. Police say neighbors first tried to beat the dog in order to get it to let go of the woman. Then police tased the dog to no effect and then shot the dog. There was an extensive investigation that's still underway. Sunbury will name the city's amphitheater after the late former Sunbury mayor, Jesse Woodring. At Monday night city council meeting, city council approved the purchase of a sign pending the approval of the late mayor's family, Councilman Chris Reese.
There's a design that was brought up, the mayor did the research on, and it's a standard sign that shows what Jesse did for the community and when it was dedicated by the city to him and his family.
Mayor Kurt Karlovich says the approximate cost of the sign will be about $800. A federal appeals court says Philadelphia city government can require that contractor Catholic Social Services does not keep same-sex couples out of its foster care program. The 3rd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals Monday upheld the city's decision to stop placing children within the agency because it would not permit same-sex couples to serve as foster parents. The court says that the city city didn't target the agency because of its religious beliefs, but acted only to enforce its own non-discrimination policy in the face of what seemed to be a clear violation. The Pennsylvania Human Services Commissioner Cynthia Figueroa says the decision will help the city best serve children in its care. Catholic Social Services lawyers say they're disappointed and will continue to fight. And finally, a federal appeals court says a New Jersey condominium association violated women's rights in setting separate swimming hours for male and female residents. The Third U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals says the schedule adopted by a Country Places condominium association was plainly unequal in its allotment of favorable swimming times. The Lakewood condominium restricts swimming by gender at certain times in accordance with Jewish law that prohibits men and women from bathing together. The association said men and women had roughly the same number of hours, but the court said women working regular hour jobs had little access during the week, and the schedule appears to reflect particular assumptions about the roles of men and women. A condominium association attorney didn't return calls seeking comment. All right, we got two calls lined up and one coming in. We got an email. Let's see. I would read the one in the middle.
The one in the middle says, just go through the list of people who surround the president who are now sitting in prison or under indictment. Having sex with a porn star and a Playboy bunny are par for the course with Mr. Trump. The fact that his wife had just given birth to his son adds another layer to this unbelievable disregard for anyone besides himself.
Okay, so that is overlooking immorality, but not illegality, right? Nothing is illegal there that we know of, on the porn star Playboy front, anyway.
Well, it's, you know, not exactly the kind of behavior you would think a president of the United States would engage in. But, I mean, he's not the first president to be involved in things like this. Not by a long shot.
That's where I'm headed. If you favor a candidate or a politician or elected leader or a president, do you overlook many failings so that you can support their policies? For example, did we overlook a lot of failings, moral failings or compromises on the part of President Obama or President
Obama had any moral failings. Okay. I mean, there's been no breath of scandal that I've ever heard attached to his name as a family man. And in fact, it's one of the things I admire about him, the fact that he is a good family man and he.
So he kept that going.
There are other presidents who have failed miserably. If you want to go back, President Eisenhower had an affair with his driver, Kay Summersby, during World War II. Harry Truman was entirely devoted to Bess, and I doubt that he ever strayed. FDR died with a mistress sitting by his side who had to be hustled out of the house where they were staying before his wife found out that he had passed away. And then eventually she did find out that her daughter had invited this woman, who the president promised never to see again, back into his home.
What about Clinton? Moral failings?
Oh, yes, certainly. I mean, look at
either
all the,
bimbo
eruptions. I don't think either of the Bushes have been involved in anything like that we've heard about. But it's across party lines. It's not just good Democrats, bad Republicans, or bad Republicans, good Democrats.
Since the year 2000, if you support an elected leader, you overlook these moral compromises. Skip decades ago. Skip what's happening today. So for President Clinton, were Democrats swayed or decided not to follow him or vote for him because they knew of
he had a very successful second term after that was all put aside. I mean, he was a pragmatist. He worked with the Republicans. He got things done. And I think he'll go down as one of our better presidents, despite having been impeached over a sexual matter, I guess, is the only way you can refer to it.
So who's the dirtiest dog lately in the White House? President Clinton?
Well.
Or President Trump?
I'd say it's toss-up.
All right, and it's not owned by either party. Trump fancies himself a Republican, so that's supposedly conservative. Obviously, that doesn't really apply to his moral decision-making.
Well, I mean, let's face it. I would think moral failings, it's across party lines. It has nothing to do with what politics you espouse.
Right. It's a human condition.
It's your human nature.
Right. If you're an honest person who honors your wife and keeps that vow that you took and takes it seriously, mean, how many extramarital affairs was President Clinton accused of having?
Well, quite a few. Jennifer Flowers, and of course, Hillary famously referred to these people as Looney Tunes.
Who used the phrase bimbo eruptions?
That was used about Mr. Clinton.
Okay.
Well, somebody on his staff kept referring
to
bimbo
eruptions.
It's a terrible
term. It should never be used by anyone ever.
Why not?
It's a rotten term. Well, because it discounts the intellect of the smart women that Mr. Clinton and the wonderful people that women are.
Okay. Well, you could assume that anyone who was willing to have an affair with Bill Clinton wasn't that smart.
I wouldn't assume that at all. Okay. So, and President Trump, for the most part, we don't think he's having an affair.
Well, the difference is apparently President Trump paid for his affairs and Mr. Clinton got them for free.
He paid to silence the affairs. He didn't pay to have them.
Well, that's true.
I'm sure if President Clinton had the opportunity to shell out a little cash to keep this out of the limelight, he would have done
so. Okay, but still, you know, their moral failings as human beings, which we all accept if we believe biblically, we've all fallen short of the sight of God. I'm sure you subscribe to that theory. I certainly do. So let's say that those are moral failings, but they're not failings of how you administer or how you run a business or how you would run the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not hired, as I think someone on the show said, I didn't hire him to be my pastor. I hired him to be the president of the United States.
I think that was Dan.
Was that Dan? Okay.
All right, 1-800-795-95. Three callers lined up. Let's line them up and knock them down. Oh, and that's not even a line. There we go. Lance, you're on the mark.
Boy, I believe I was the last guy to call.
Well, we're taking them in the order in which they arose, which is the most recent one first.
Oh, wow, okay. Why? Anyway, with regards, to Tom's call, one of the absolute greatest people that lived in the last century was Dr. King, right? And he was so, when it came to marital fidelity, he was no paragon. He also preached against gay people. He really did. I have his, transcript of the speech. I think I got all the speeches. But, and yet this fellow really did some wonderful things. I mean, our country would have been terribly, terribly vacant without the guy. Really. Also, the failure that, the financials, back about, in 08 and 09, that was all caused by government control, government getting in where it shouldn't have been, which was saying that everybody out there needs a house, right? And if a bank didn't loan, why, they were in trouble. Now, they only really set aside certain areas that you must either go in or, do whatever and loan money. However, that was setting the example for the rest of the loans they made. They all had to adhere to those standards, which were a very low bar to give somebody a loan. And that's what set that up. And also, we did have two laws that were repealed that actually made that problem back then worse. One of them said that you couldn't be an investment bank if you were a retail bank. The other one was the uptick rule, in which before you could short a stock, it had to go up the day before. It's basically what it said. And if we'd had those two laws in place that grew out of the Depression, that wouldn't have happened. With the Democrats and the Republicans gave us the 1-2 punch. The one law was repealed by Clinton, the other by George Bush II. And also with the education, it wasn't until the government, decided that they were going to loan money for education did the prices go sky high. If you take it, it's like locally. They're at Bucknell. Back when, $7,500 was median income. The tuition, I know for a fact, at Bucknell was $2,200. Now it's $60,000. And it's $50,000 a year, because it would be about a third of median income, so it should be 20 if it kept up with everything else. So what I'm saying here is, the government trying to help has done more to hurt us than you can ever imagine.
Hmm.
And you talk about free public education. Well, a kid that graduates from Lyon Mountain at $18,000 a year for K through 12, you know, you're paying off a student debt there.
Is that what the cost per student is at Lyon Mountain?
Yeah. Yeah.
Budget divided by number of students.
Well, that's per student. It was just in the Upper Dauphin Sentinel here just not too long ago.
Okay, and that's how they're getting that, you know, probably $20 million budget divided by probably 2,000 or 3,000 students or so.
That's right, yeah.
I gotcha. Okay. All right, we're good to go, Lance. Thank you so much
for
calling.
Thanks, Lance.
I really appreciate the insights. Dan, you are next. Then Bobby, go right ahead, Dan.
Okay, good morning, guys. Well, I'm responding to the first caller said President didn't keep any of his promises. Basically, he tried to or kept all of them. First, he promised us he would put constitutionalists on the Supreme Court. He's done it twice. And he promised us a tax break. He kept that promise. He promised us he'd honor Israel again, as the past president did not honor Israel. That's one reason we didn't vote for Obama. So President Trump has honored Israel, and President Trump has honored us in trying to keep our country safe by finally getting started with the wall and protecting our southern border. Another promise he's keeping. Another promise he made us, get rid of the NAFTA program and get more fair trade in this set in our hemisphere here. He's done that. He eliminated NAFTA. Another promise he's keeping, working on, is more fair trade, more equal trade with China and them countries over there in the southern rim. He's doing that. And another promise he made, which probably some people won't like that listen to this program, he has Christian evangelicals in the White House every month going over different things about the way our country's gone in different directions.
In what way has he drained the swamp, if at all?
Yeah, that's one. Sad to say, the swamp is out to kill Trump. They're trying to drown him, and it's really a tough thing. He's not in it, but they're bringing him down in it and trying to drown him. As if this resistance movement, which is really trying to get rid of Trump, get him impeached when there's no impeachable offense, whatever. He did nothing impeachable, but the swamp is what he's going to try to drain, but which is actually killing him, because he promised us that, but. No, I told you early on with the swamp draining, it's really not getting done, and I think it's going to take more people like him in politics with him to do that.
All right. Thank you so much, Dan. Yep.
Sure kept a lot of promises, and even with health care, he tried to get rid of the failed Obamacare, but one vote, one rhino Republican didn't allow it to be done.
Yes, but Dan, he didn't propose anything new, just get rid of the old.
Well, there's a good question, Joe. I don't know if they had anything new.
They don't.
But I mean, I don't blame Senator McCain for voting against it, because there was nothing to replace it. There was nothing to replace it. I mean, you just can't stop giving health, you know, and having the insurance companies just say, "Oh, okay, forget all these plans, forget all these people."
Well, we would have been back on the old policy the way it was before.
And that didn't cover pre-existing conditions, and that didn't cover your children being able to stay on your plan.
You know, the sad thing, Joe, if anybody from the other side would work with Trump, Trump's for that. He don't want to let anybody out with them conditions. He wants everybody in, but they won't work with him. All they do is work against the man. You know, he wants that. That was part of his campaign promise, which they don't allow him to keep. But I know the House sure didn't have anything for a new program. They left him flat-footed, the president. They left him down on that part of it. They didn't have anything.
All right, we got to take a break.
That
thank you so much.
That was an embarrassment for all of us. Okay, yep, thanks. Very good program.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565. Stand by, Bobby. We'll be with you momentarily. Bobby's hanging on to the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line, which has open lines, 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about impeachability. We got one teacher feels a student's performance has been pathetic, but should you tell the 7-year-old that? We're going to talk about that shortly here on WDKOK.
Hometown, such a warm and friendly word, a place of comfort, confidence, and friendship. And as the song goes, everybody knows your name. In today's culture of fast food service and big box mentality, it's nice to know that we can still rely on the warm and friendly comfort of Hometown Pharmacy. There's one near you. Friendly, knowledgeable staff that not only know you by name, but know your meds and know what's best for you, right down to the over-the-counter meds for those quick day-in, day-out situations that may arise. Your Hometown Pharmacy. That hometown feel that we all want. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. In Mifflinburg, it's Trutz Pharmacy on Chestnut Street. Bloomsburg, it's the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street. And the Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Your hometown is calling you. Your independent hometown pharmacy. Every season, every day.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, Bobby gets the record for the longest wait. Thank you, be so patient, sir. Very much appreciated. You're on the mark.
Yes, good morning, everyone. I have a question during all this, impeachment, whatever. I mean, which court are we talking about? You know, when you're picked up here for a speeding ticket, you go to the magistrate or whatever, and, you know, up in Berwick, when I got picked up, I had to go to the local magistrate up there. But where does the impeachment, which court does it end up in?
Bobby, that's kind of civics 101. Didn't you have Mr. What's his name, Ely in school?
Yeah.
Because
Washington, D.C. is a District of Columbia,
the House
versus the state of Pennsylvania, they're supposedly trying to find all these charges against him, but where is it going to end up in court if it does?
Bob, the House of Representatives drafts articles of impeachment.
Okay.
And they after they draft those articles of impeachment, that's in effect the indictment. And
okay.
The trial is conducted by the United States Senate, who will determine whether there's no court involved. The court is the United States Senate.
Oh, okay.
And
all
they
right,
decide
thank you.
On innocent or guilt.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate the call. Email, top to bottom. Email,
right.
Then text.
Why is everyone looking at the loans that are given as the problem? Go to the colleges themselves. They are greedy liberal institutions that are charging outrageous costs to get a subpar education. Forgiving loans is not an answer. So many of the students go to these overpriced schools and come out with a degree that would not get them a job making more than a few dollars above minimum wage. Start holding people responsible for what they owe and decisions they make. This is just the tip of the iceberg. Where does it end? So-and-so can't afford a new home, so now we will buy them one. Democrats are going to destroy our country and our way of life. Wake up, America.
Okay. And the text.
And the text says, Trump is not a perfect human, and I'm sure you can't show me one that is. Trump had his dalliance long before becoming president, not while in office like Clinton or Kennedy. Right. True that.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That exhausts the pending emails that we've received. We read that one, right? Okay, yeah, we read that.
Yes.
All right, so we're back to...
This teacher.
Yeah, the pathetic teacher. This is from Yahoo.com. It says, there's a petition calling for the termination of a second-grade teacher at a Pennsylvania public school. It has garnered more than 7,000 signatures after a social media post regarding her feedback to a student went viral. Chris Pyland took to Facebook to voice his displeasure when his son's second-grade teacher at Valley View Elementary School, identified as Alyssa Rupp Bohenick by the Scranton Times-Tribune, after she wrote a remark on a math assignment written in red ink above the assignment, which features 50 subtraction problems. The teacher allegedly wrote of the seven-year-old's work, absolutely pathetic. He answered 13 in 3 minutes. Sad. And then a frowny face, not a smiley face, but a frowny face. I am beyond frustrated that someone would write this on a child's work, the father said, according to the Times Tribune. The school superintendent was made aware of the remarks written on the assignment after meeting with the Valley View School District and the teacher. An investigation is underway in the district. It's a personnel issue, so they're not talking more about that. Alyssa Rupp Bohenick is a teacher for Valley View School District and thinks it's okay, this is the father talking, thinks it's okay to bully and talk down to her students. She needs to be removed, says the petition to fire Alyssa Rupp Bohenick from Valley View School District.
And then a counter petition has been launched in defense of her, although it repeatedly misspelled her last name and has only 62 signatures so far. Those in support of Bohenick believe it is something she should be reprimanded for, but certainly not fired over. You know, I was telling you when we discussed this story before, before we went on the air this morning, talking about things we might talk about, I had an English teacher in Camp Curtin Junior High School in Harrisburg who said to me, McGranahan, if you ever get out of here, it'll be through the back door. You know, I was not the best student in junior high school, I'll agree, mm-hmm. but it seemed back then that, you know, teachers believed it was okay to, I won't call it belittle, but I think being charitable, their intent was to challenge you by pointing out your shortcomings. And now that seems to have fallen out of favor. Now, I agree a seven-year-old calling a seven-year-old's work pathetic is not a good idea. She should have come up with some better phrasing.
Well, that's a powerful word.
Well, it is, you know, and I'm sure the kid felt disrespected, disregarded, and whatever else diss you want to come up with.
And dissed.
Dissed, yeah. Disrespected. But, you know, if a kid is not getting it, what should a teacher do? I mean, you can't just keep handing out participation medals. Somewhere down the line, there has to be a mechanism where a teacher can say to a kid, frankly, your work is below par. You know, even on the report cards, you know, you give them a D or an F, but shouldn't they be trying to inspire the kid or to motivate the kid in between report card time with something that might put light a spark under them?
Well, this seven-year-old did better math faster than I would, so I don't think it's pathetic. I think it's pretty good. Maybe this
teacher... Well, yeah, well, he answered teacher, 13 in 3 minutes of 50 questions, so...
Right, so that's about what I could do. Well, one of them was...
Did you expect him to do the whole 50 in 3 minutes?
But he understood some of the questions. He just worked through them slow. Maybe he has a learning disability or something.
Well, it didn't say how many of them he got wrong. Did he get 13 wrong out of 13 that he succeeded in answering in 3 minutes, or...
The student doesn't have a learning disability, he has a performance disability, says one of the good observers of this. He doesn't have a learning disability, he has a performance.
So he doesn't. What's that?
Kids who don't test well, I guess, comes to mind. I don't know. I'll have to ask.
Well, it wasn't a test. It was a homework assignment, wasn't it? Or was it a test? I don't know.
I think it was an in-school assignment is sort
okay.
of how this is being talked about. Cindy, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
I think that the professional person's feedback was pathetic. That's what was pathetic. You know, the point to providing a student with feedback is to let them know where they stand and motivate them to get better. It's a loss to me how that forms in either way what she wrote on that paper. And I would hold her accountable if I were her boss or if I were on that school board.
Would you fire her, Cindy?
No, but I would. There would be a heightened review of her feedback in the classroom.
At all times, yeah.
She would be showing me the paperwork as the principal. I would be coming down to review her. That's just unprofessional. That's terribly unprofessional behavior.
Wow, and pathetic is such a powerful word. Holy smokes.
I can understand that perhaps she lacks the skills to help this student gain an understanding of subtraction or to motivate this student to perform. I can believe that. And that certainly needs to be addressed by the administration. This is a 7-year-old. This isn't a 17-year-old. This isn't a 27-year-old. This is a 7-year-old. And it could be that the child has visual acuity issues. They can't see. It could be that they genuinely don't have the skills involved and need all kinds of help and remediation. Perhaps the way that she's delivering the instruction doesn't meet his needs. We talk about mechanisms. Some children learn better by hearing the directions. Some people learn better by reading the directions. Some people need manipulatives, the little objects, in order to do that. And where is all of that in saying, you know, this is pathetic? I'm sure that this teacher's frustrated, but what isn't coming through and how she reflected that is outrageous. She could say that to a peer. She could say that to the principal. She has no business saying that to the child. That's reprehensible on her part. Very unprofessional, and if the school district's worth their salt, they will hold her accountable for that. Because it not only tells her what she did was inappropriate, but it sends a message to others. Are her peers also behaving in this fashion? On the other hand, she ought to talk to them, because maybe one of her peers could help her be a better instructor and a better person giving feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a teachable moment, that's at the very, very least. But the note says, absolutely pathetic. He answered 13 in 3 minutes. Sad. Does that mean that note is more for the parent than the student? You know,
well,
he
then that's
answered.
Not a communication that belonged on a paper that a child could read. If she's concerned that this student's performance is inadequate, then she needs to call that parent or send a letter to that parent and ask for a conference. But she should first and foremost be seeking assistance from her peers in the building, including the principal, to improve her instruction. What is missing here? You know, some kids learn in one way and some kids learn another way. I struggled in math. You know, that didn't make me pathetic. And it doesn't, if your goal as an educator is to help these students advance, there's nothing about that sentence that helps that child do any better. Nothing. It only reflects her frustration and her lack of professionalism.
Let me ask you a question, Cindy, because you've been involved in this type of thing. Does negative reinforcement have any part in motivating kids?
No.
Never?
No.
Why not?
Well, it's not the best way.
Well,
ever.
I agree, but I mean, I received some negative reinforcement in my life that I thought spurred me on to do more, just to show that.
Well, as I said, I had trouble with math to the extent that I failed a marking period in math, and in order to shame me, my mother hung my report card on the refrigerator and drew it to the attention of every person who came into the house. She also
and you had a lot of visitors.
Television. I was only allowed to go to one activity because she'd already paid for it outside of the house. You know, I was basically grounded. Now, let me ask you this: did that improve? Did any of those actions improve my achievement in math? No. Why not? Well, they have nothing to do with math. If you want to improve someone's achievement in math, then they need tutoring. They need a different kind of instruction. They need help. Shaming people and demeaning people doesn't fall in those categories.
And did you bone up on more math as life went on?
You know, I'll tell you what happened. My Algebra 2 teacher asked to meet, without my mother's intervention, asked to meet with me because it was not acceptable to him that I got an F. And he took that to heart, and so he asked to meet with me. Well, it turned out that because we had moved, my math education was not in sync with the new school district, right? There was a big mess missing in the middle. And so he spent days after school catching me up.
Okay.
Guess what I got my next marking period?
A B.
Yeah, exactly right. That's exactly right.
I read the
That's
book.
That's how you help people who are struggling in a subject in school. You take the time, you put the intervention in, you find out where they are, and you help them improve.
Good. Gotcha.
You don't write pathetic on a paper.
I agree with you, don't write pathetic on a paper, but isn't that putting a burden on the school district? I mean, it's kind of like one size fits all. The teacher can't teach every kid a different way based on their needs.
Oh, yes, they can.
Every kid a different way? How do you ever get anything done in class?
That's the current instruction talks about using different modalities. That's the current thinking in public in education, recognizing that different people learn in different ways. You use different modalities. Just like if a student were deaf and you're the teacher in the front of the room talking your way through the lesson, you know, how foolish is that, Joe? Is that kid going to learn if they're deaf, can't hear, and you're up there talking? So don't you, as the teacher, it's your job to find another way to deliver the information to that student. Or if the student was blind and everything you handed out was in written form.
Okay, but here's my point. Rather than have one teacher teach 20 kids 20 different ways, wouldn't it be better to group the kids who have different problems in the same class so that one teacher could teach them all the way they learn?
Well, I happen to agree with you, but unfortunately, and that follows a model, by the way, we have in hospitals. The maternity ward has just people that had babies. You know, the ICU has people that are just critically sick. The med-surg floor has generally ill people. Pediatrics has just children. So, yes, in medicine, we have the wisdom to say these are special skill sets. Let's cluster those people together and put people specially trained to meet that need, to meet their need. But in education, on the other hand, some philosophers came out with a theory back, Joe, when you and I were in school, that if you put, if you cluster people by ability, then those people who struggle will know they're struggling.
Right.
Well, yeah. Let me tell you, I was a struggling kid in a math class. I knew it. It was no secret. My peers knew it. It was not a secret. You know, it's foolish to say that, in my opinion, it's foolish to say, let's make all these classrooms a reflection of society. They believe then that this will motivate the failing child. Well, actually, that in itself actually shames them.
Hmm.
Can you imagine being in the room and everybody gets it but you?
Well, and if they didn't know then, they do now.
Well, and
it's out there.
Yeah, and all your peers know. They know you can't read. They know you can't, you know, they know that there's no secret to the kids that you're with. They see that you're struggling. They get that. Now, some educators actually believe that then the smartest kids in the room should turn around and help the struggling students.
Amen.
That
like
doesn't
that.
Work.
What's wrong with that?
I don't agree. Number one, they're not trained educators. They're kids, right? Number two, don't we have an obligation to meet the needs of the smartest kids in the room, too? So shouldn't their time be spent on things that are gifted or drive them forward even farther instead of spent remediating and ineffectually, frankly, remediating the kids that aren't doing well.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Thank you so much, Cindy. Really appreciate
it. Sorry for going over my time.
No, no, thank
you.
Thanks. It's a very good comment.
So good. We're going to take a quick break. We will be back. Stan is on the line. We're picking up the Stan line in 3 minutes.
Get outside and clean up the yard.
Yes, dear.
Springtime means cleanup time, even at Sunbury Motors Ford. Sunbury Motors Spring Inventory Cleanup has begun. Once a year, SMC takes their entire new Ford inventory and prices them at levels not seen before. SMC is where you want to be to choose from 44 2019 Ford Escapes. This just in, Ford Motor Company and Sunbury Motors have increased the discounts on 2019 Ford Escapes. They're slashed to the lowest price ever offered to the general public. Now at an amazing $18,985. SMC is where you want to be for 2019 Ford F-150s, starting at just $25,899. And SMC has 66 in stock. SMC is where you want to be if you want a brand new 2018 Ford Focus for $14,905. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Ford in the Northwest Street Auto Plaza.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. Mark Lawrence here. Joe is here. And Stan has been patiently waiting. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to comment on the reaction of the teacher and the student. I mean, everybody wants to internalize the situation based on their experiences and not open their mind up to other possibilities. I mean, this lady before must have had a very traumatic childhood over math, so therefore any situation is going to be traumatic for everybody. I mean, this teacher wasn't a substitute. It was a teacher that's with this child every day. He knows what the kid can do and can't do. And any teacher, I have an eight-year-old daughter, and any teacher would know if 50 questions in 3 minutes, they must have been very simple questions, or the rest of the class would have had issues too. I mean, maybe this was, the kid was not behaving. We don't know the whole story, but we want to right away crucify the teachers and the education system when people don't realize how hard it is.
I got you. All right. That's sound advice, really, what you're saying, you know, to really look at the whole picture. So describe a scenario where calling a student pathetic is perfectly appropriate.
It's possible that she's tried other ways. She's tried to contact the parents. Perhaps, I mean, kids come home with different words of the day that their friends start using and they all use. Pathetic could have been the word that day. The kids could have been heard pathetic from one of their older sisters or brothers, and they started saying it, and the kids, and that was the word that they were using that day.
Well, the student didn't use the word, the teacher did.
I know, but I'm saying if she heard it, the other kids were saying it for that day or that week, oh, you're pathetic, because that's what kids do. They mimic the older kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. So she wasn't being, I refuse to believe that a teacher is trying to just be heartless and pick on a kid, because she'll know if he has a learning disability. She teaches the kid.
Right. Yeah. No. I mean, no. Nobody's.
Give this teacher some credit, and everyone wants to jump all over him.
Nobody says that's her intent. They're just saying that that's the result. I understand what you're saying, that maybe there's some scenario somehow that using that word, but I'll tell you what, you got to use a lot of imagination to come up with a scenario where a professional using that word to describe a student is appropriate. I mean, I just can't think of any.
Well, perhaps she wasn't meaning, now I'm reading into things, but perhaps she wasn't necessarily meaning that he only did 13, but that his effort was pathetic because he didn't try. And she was sitting there watching him screw around, talk, do this, do that, not be focused.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, not necessarily directed at the child, but directed at his caring or his attempt. I mean, there's a lot of scenarios. Don't have to take everything the worst way all the time.
Okay. Well, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I often do that in my mind, you know, to try to think of, okay, under what circumstances would this be appropriate? Like with President Trump paying off porn stars, you know, okay, well, what's appropriate? Well, he's got a lot of money and she needs money, so maybe it's just an okay agreement.
But I think somebody, and I know Cindy would disagree with this because I just asked her how she felt about negative reinforcement with a kid, and she said never. But I'm sorry, sometimes I think it works. You know, I don't think you should shame a kid, and I think that's what this teacher did. But if their goal was to motivate them because they think they're underperforming and they could perform better, then sometimes pointing that out to them is not a bad thing. I agree with you.
Right, and then it's going home to the parents to see. She didn't held the paper up and to the class and said, look what he did.
No, that's what the boy's dad did. Put it on Facebook.
Yeah. Now everybody knows that the teacher thought her kid was pathetic.
I mean, shouldn't the father be saying, first question, well, son, why did you only do 13 and 50? I mean, I'm not saying that teachers are always right, but I'm old enough that when I came home from school and I complained about a teacher, the first thing they said was, what did you do? Teachers don't.
I've been there, done that.
And that's the difference between education today and education when we went to school.
All right. Thank you so much,
Stan.
Thanks,
Stan. Appreciate
your
call.
1-800-795-9565, Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. We got two emails. Start from the bottom, then we got to get a break.
He makes a point here that is in line with our last caller. One of our writers says, the point here is that the modern liberal mentality is that God does not punish anyone, so therefore nobody should get anything less than heavenly praise with their participation medal. Obviously, the father of that kid has not fulfilled his parental obligation and thinks that it is the responsibility of the womb-to-tomb, cradle-to-grave nanny state. And then he wonders why his taxes are so high. Obviously, he was also pathetic at math.
All right, so the first line is, the point here is that the modern liberal mentality is that God does not punish anyone, so therefore nobody should get anything less than heavenly praise with their participation medal.
Yes, that's right. That's what he said.
Whew.
That's what I read, and that you got that.
All right, noted.
Did it sink in?
I just can't believe anybody could type it out, that's
okay.
All. But that's fine. That's open phones. Well, I have to take a break. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Speedy dialers only on a pathetic teacher who thinks that her students, at least one of them, is pathetic.
And clean up the yard.
Yes, dear.
Springtime means cleanup time, even at Sunbury Motors Ford. Sunbury Motors Spring Inventory Cleanup has begun. Once a year, SMC takes their entire new Ford inventory and prices them at levels not seen before. SMC is where you want to be to choose from 44 2019 Ford Escapes. This just in, Ford Motor Company and Sunbury Motors have increased the discounts on 2019 Ford Escapes. They're slashed to the lowest price ever offered to the general public, now at an amazing $18,985. SMC is where you want to be for 2019 Ford F-150s, starting at just $25,899. And SMC has 66 in stock. SMC is where you want to be if you want a brand new 2018 Ford Focus for $14,905. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. It's 9:57 on the button. Doesn't matter what your clock says, that's the real time right now. So welcome aboard, everybody. Read the bottom two, and then we got Lance.
Okay, one says, hello, why don't we make school 16 years long? That would make free college game over. Thanks, signed Bob. Another writer says, having been a teacher, I can say that any teacher worth their salt would react to a student who is not grasping a subject by working with them individually or suggesting a remedial pathway. However, there are students who choose not to do anything in the classroom and don't care about the repercussions. Any child who has been identified as learning disabled would have been assigned help. Evidently, none of you went to Catholic school. This was nothing.
Well, you had your share of teachers who were not exactly encouraging, right?
Right. Well, and my wife went to Catholic school, and she has some stories about how she was treated that are not, I would tend to agree.
Okay.
Calling a kid pathetic was nothing by comparison.
I went to Shikellamy, and I cannot think of any teacher who was not encouraging and did individual studies or anything. I can't think of any comparable situation like this. I got my share of SWATs from time to time, but guess who brought those on?
You did?
Lance, you're on the mark.
Hello?
Lance, are you there? Did I hit the button two times? Nope, he's there. Well, our line is still open, but I think we heard his phone click off. He probably clicked off because we're almost near the end.
One of our other writers says, so Mark seems to think that since he would not want to punish anyone, then also God does not have the right to punish anyone either. This is what Aaron thought when he melted down all that gold to make an idol of a calf to worship in lieu of the Lord.
Yeah, this is why I got SWATs in middle school. Some of the most basic concepts that were presented to me, including these from this emailer, I don't get. So you're right. I am I'm worthy of melting down. So.
And one of our other writers goes back to the discussion we had earlier, says, good morning. Trump is a spoiled little rich kid who, when he don't get his way, he gets very mad. Today, he started at 5:59 a.m., tweeting 11 times. He was fast and furious about corruption, crime, Donald Trump, economy, investment.